What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show, and I have a great one for you today. What is up, everybody in the chat? Jaden, Eviana, and Ann, what is up? Great to see you. Welcome, everybody. It's Thursday, September 22nd. I can't believe this week is already about to be over. Whew, and what a week it's been. We've had some crazy stories, and we have some crazy stories to get to today as well. But before I get into it, I just want to say a big shout out to TikTok, where I posted the video of that heroic police officer out in Connecticut who assisted that veteran in distress on the side of the road, which has gotten almost 120,000 views already and an outpouring of support over there. I'm blown away by people's compassion and engagement and show of support for that vet and that police officer. It's been quite moving. I showed my wife that, and it was just waterfalls. It was a tearjerker. Oh my God. I haven't been that moved by something that we've had on this show in quite some time. And I hope that you guys also felt some kind of way, hopefully a good way, hopefully a really positive way after that story yesterday. But don't worry, I've got a brand new batch of good stuff for you folks today on the Scuttlebutt Show. And I'm going to get right into it, okay? We're going to jam through some of these stories today and get to some of the key stuff that we have there at the end. There's some crazy stuff, some really interesting things going on. But one of the most interesting things that's happened in a long time in the military, it's starting to bubble over. This whole thing's bubbling over, if you will. Check this out. Fat Leonard, the guy who bribed Navy captains and admirals into getting all kinds of money and giving them sex, drugs, and rock and roll in exchange for top secret information about the United States Navy, allegedly was trying to fly to Russia. He escaped house arrest during his trial last week. We've been reporting on it. Leonard Glenn Francis, known as Fat Leonard, was captured in Venezuela attempting to board a flight to Russia. Do I need to remind you about your OPSEC? Do I need to be the one to tell you, because the Army's not doing it, do I need to be the one to tell you to go finish your OPSEC training online? Because if you are not sure if this is a serious story or not, let me put any of that to rest for you. This guy, Leonard Francis, has mingled with the top brass of the United States Navy when they've been drinking, drugging, and prostituting. He has been able to probably extort them, blackmail them. I bet there's so much stuff that we don't even know about, even after his tell-all Apple podcast. And where was he headed with all of that top secret information? Russia. What did Russia just do? Threaten nuclear war. This is OPSEC nightmare number one. This is like FBI's, CIA's, United States of America number one most horrifying OPSEC issue. If there's any doubt in your mind that he was going to Russia in exchange for protection for information, I don't know. I'm just going off of my gut here, but I'm going to say I am 500% sure if he went down to Venezuela and then he was going to Russia, is he was getting some kind of deal from Russia where if he exchanged top secret information about the United States Navy, he would get protection and riches and women or whatever in the last days of his life over there in Russia. I don't doubt it at all. September 4th, he went missing from California, and there's been a global warrant to track him down. Thank goodness that 57-year-old Fat Leonard was arrested in Venezuela before he was able to make the trip over to Russia. He entered the country from Mexico, so of course he cruised down to Mexico. There's no question that that's what he would have done. When any kind of fugitive leaves from California, they're going down to Mexico. And then he ended up in Cuba, which is crazy. And I don't know. I don't even know how this whole thing went down, but he's back in detention and he's going to go back on trial for his crimes, which hopefully will unravel this scheme and let us know what he was doing out there. But of all the people, of all the E3s and the JOs out there who, you know, are always getting preached by their commanders and the brass of the Navy and the big wigs to watch your OPSEC and loose lips sink ships and loose tweets sink fleets and all that stuff. Look, you've got the highest ranking people in the Navy going out and giving everything that they knew to this guy. And where was he going to go with it? Russia. And guess how many of those admirals and Navy captains and commanders paid with any kind of real legal punishments? Almost none. That's the world that we live in, folks. That's just the way that it is. So Fat Leonard is now off the nice list. You know, he was kind of a rebel. He was somebody who was outing this bad behavior in the Navy. He was calling attention to it. There was a chance here for him to be kind of a hero. But now that he's going to go sell these secrets to Russia in exchange for probably some kind of, you know, being taken care of, I feel just all the worst kind of ways for this guy. And I hope now he gets the book thrown at him, locked up, key thrown away. He's sick. He needs like life maintaining care. And I don't even care, because I think that he is just the biggest level of dirtbag over here. The biggest level of dirtbag. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comments down below. And how bad do you think it would have been if he had made it to Russia, knowing everything that he knows about the Navy and the fleet and their port operations and whatever else he had been told by the Navy's big brass? You let me know. You're telling me you don't think that on some of those trips where they're out there getting blackout drunk with strippers, the Navy admirals weren't spilling the beans about all their capabilities? Absolutely not. Absolutely, they were. That's exactly what they were doing. Kitty says, even though he didn't make it to Russia, is this considered treason? I don't know about that. Or conspiracy to commit treason, Sam says. Could be. We'll see what they uncover and what they're willing to reveal to the public. Sam says, there is beyond reasonable doubt that he was going to go to Russia to share secrets. Yeah, I would certainly agree with you there. He definitely would have been on his way to, as Harry Lime Pie in the comments put it, selling us out. That's for sure. That's for sure. So when you've got, you know, massive problems with leadership where flag officers are doing stuff like that and then getting promoted, you've got captains of aircraft carriers hanging out with Fat Leonard in Singapore and then getting promoted to admiral, and we all know how that whole thing works, and the amount of, you know, dealings under the table and compromised officials and all that stuff. How do you expect the junior ranks to stay straight and narrow on the straight and narrow path? All right, it's going to be impossible, which is how you end up like our next story here, the focus of our next story. Fort Hood soldier charged in shooting death of his girlfriend. This is a soldier. You're telling me that the gentleman on your screen is a soldier from Fort Hood. That's who you're looking at. A soldier from Fort Hood was arrested and charged this week in the shooting death of his girlfriend, who was found dead Monday, this past Monday, in a home that they shared nearby Texas, in the Texas city of Killeen. This is Specialist Michael Moore. He was 35. He was arrested by Fort Hood police and turned over to the Killeen Police Department. He was charged with murder and arraigned Wednesday for a $1 million bond. He was listed as an inmate at Bell County Jail on Thursday. Killeen police were dispatched at 7:56 a.m. Monday to their home on Wales Drive, where they found a 34-year-old woman dead with an apparent gunshot wound. An autopsy has been ordered, but I think they'll find that the bullet probably killed her. Police said they had not identified the victim as of Thursday because they were still trying to get in touch with her family. Killeen police said she was not a soldier or military. Moore and the woman were involved in a domestic dispute when Moore took out a handgun and shot her, according to police. Moore was next seen at Fort Hood for PT at 5:30 a.m. So you could spend all night killing your girlfriend and still make it to PT at 5:30 a.m. Monday. That's something. That's something right there. Police said they did not know the exact time of the shooting. So you go to work on Fort Hood like we haven't talked enough about Fort Hood, and then you find out that the guy that you were doing push-ups next to, and you were like, hey, those aren't real push-ups, you better do real push-ups. You're lucky you survived a little snarky comment like that, because he just got done killing his girlfriend off base. Just typical stuff right here. Moore enlisted in the Army as a plumber in October 2019 and is assigned to Fort Hood's 68th Engineer Construction Company. A Fort Hood spokesperson declined to answer questions about Moore's on-base arrest, and Army CID is cooperating. So this guy, his name is Michael Moore. Not a lot of good people run around with the name Michael Moore, it seems like. Was, you know, out there in Texas, up late, I assume, in a domestic dispute, murders his girlfriend, and goes to work like everything's normal. And this is him right here. Does that look like a soldier to you? Does that look like a proud Army soldier in his inmate costume? Beard disheveled, everything like that? How do we end up like this so often? It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing that could be your battle buddy. And what he could have gone days or weeks without getting busted. Probably. If I wonder how they ended up at the house. So, you know, whatever caused them to get dispatched, whatever caused the police to get dispatched, they go there and find a body and track this guy down at his place of work. That's some sick stuff. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section down below. Let me know down below. The comments section is where we go. That's my little song. That's my little song, folks, about the comments section. Harry said he was probably a Russian spy. Oh, Kitty says he was a Russian spy from the beginning. Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? What if he was a Russian spy the entire time? That would be, that would make sense to me. Waters in the chat. Keep up the solid work. Love checking in on your progress. Thank you for stopping by. I hope you're having a great day out there. Stick around. We have a crazy story coming up next. Max, did you see the military is going to offer a stipend now to military families anywhere from $990 to $30,000? No, I have no idea what you're talking about, but that sounds very interesting. What if Fat Leonard was working for the Russians all along, selling secrets, putting major dents, cracks into our national security, all so that Navy captains and admirals could get their beaks a little wet in Singapore? Not good. Not good. And from foreign borders, talking about Singapore, to the ones in our own home. This next one is something right here. Army National Guardsman sentenced to prison for cocaine bust in Texas. Operation Lone Star. Oh, but you do not get a star for this performance. An active duty National Army Guardsman has been sentenced to a little more than 4 years in prison for attempting to smuggle 14 and a half pounds of cocaine into the United States. I'm not sure. I'm no expert, but I think that's a lot of cocaine. Jonathan Zarzwa, a 28-year-old Austin resident, pled guilty on January 13th to possession with intent to distribute a quantity of more than 5 kilograms of cocaine. Federal court records show he reached a plea deal with prosecutors who on Tuesday moved to dismiss other charges, so he took a plea, and that's how he ended up doing his guilty plea. Federal records show he reached the deal on Tuesday. They moved to dismiss. Oh, that's why I was just talking about the other charges. The United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Texas said in a news release that at the time of his September 11, 2021 arrest, Zarzwa was an active duty guardsman employed as a petroleum supply specialist. The release notes he also served on active duty with the United States Army from 2016 to 2020. So he was an active duty soldier from 2016 to 2020, went to the National Guard as a petroleum fuel supply specialist, I guess. U.S. Customs and Border Protection arrested him that day as he tried to enter the United States through B&M International Bridge. So September 11th, the anniversary of 9/11, basically the one-year anniversary of all those people being killed at the Abbey Gate, this guy decides he is just going to smuggle cocaine into America while working for the National Guard. He claimed he was returning after visiting his father in Mexico, but after his vehicle was x-rayed, it revealed anomalies. And then they discovered cocaine hidden in a false compartment under the center console. I think they have it pretty figured out on how to inspect those vehicles. He admitted to smuggling the cocaine for individuals in Mexico and to having smuggled drugs into the U.S. on at least, get this, 30 other occasions. 30 other occasions. He further admitted he was specifically recruited because he could use his military status to facilitate crossing the border with illegal narcotics. So just another example. If you've been following along here on the Scuttlebutt Show, it's just another example of the cartels or whoever down in Mexico targeting military along the border to smuggle people, drugs, and other things, especially because of their privileged status as military members. And that is despicable. Despicable. He's not even the only guardsman arrested for cocaine trafficking that year. 2 days after his arrest, Homeland Security Investigations arrested 21-year-old Derek Sankey, a member of the Alabama National Guard. They had information several days prior to his arrest that he was involved in moving and distributing drugs and set up a sting. Sankey was in uniform and driving a Border Patrol vehicle when special agents arrested him at Whataburger in Hidalgo, where he had agreed to pick up a kilogram of cocaine that he would deliver to a DoubleTree hotel in McAllen. I don't know if they had to pay for this advertising, but in one paragraph, you get a shout-out to Whataburger and DoubleTree Hotel. That's just no such thing as bad press for that business over there. With all that cocaine, they will be saying, what a burger. Let's go. What a burger. I don't normally feel like I could run 1,000 miles after eating a burger. But at that Whataburger down in Hidalgo, I sure do. So just don't do it, folks. Just don't do it. Can we just for one day not have something that shatters my faith in the future of our country coming out of the United States Army? Just for one day. That would be great. That would be great. Just one day without a story about the Army ruining everything. And you know, the border's a mess and people have been down there, Operation Lone Star, doing all this stuff. They've been coming into contact with these criminals and these smugglers and traffickers. And not only that, but they're probably exploiting the fact that all their phones are near the border, all their social medias are pinging down there, they find them locally, they go on their Tinder. You know, you don't think, come on, like, just use your brain for 5 seconds. You don't think these cartels go set up fake Tinder profiles to match with soldiers and then they go, hey, actually, I'm a drug smuggler and I want you to, you know, bring some coke over the border and I'll give you $10,000 or something like that. You don't think that happens? Of course that happens. Of course that happens. They're getting them on Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram. There's a pandemic, I guess. There's an epidemic of this stuff going on, and nobody's really drawn much attention to it. The military is getting totally attacked, cyber attacked by people doing bad stuff on the border, and we're not hardly talking about it except for here on the Scuttlebutt Show. So let me know in the comments section what you guys think about that one. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Sam says, PFC narco over there. Yes, Kitty, why would you admit to more crimes? Maybe part of the plea deal was if he admits to anything else, he won't get charged for it. That's typically what it is. Hey, if you just, we want to know what's going on. We already got you for this thing. You're going to plead guilty to this. So here's the deal. You're safe. You can admit to anything else and you're safe. Whatever else you tell us, we will not bring you up on charges for. Just tell us the truth. And that gets people to talk. Give them the freedom to admit the truth without fear of prosecution. If that's what you want, if that's what you're after, if you're more after finding out who these smugglers are and who's paying the person rather than putting some low-level smuggler away for 2 more years and you're trying to get to the big fish, it's probably worth it. 2020, the year 2020. What a year. What a year for the Scuttlebutt Show. A lot of stories. That's really the year the Scuttlebutt Show took off. The 2020. Locked up in my house. I'm in the house bored and I'm in the house bored. And I started the Scuttlebutt Show YouTube as like a full-time live stream daily show. Started covering stories. And I actually remember covering this story. And now we have an update for you. It's kind of sad. An Army specialist and a New York teen are on trial now after deal to trade vehicles led to killing of a Fort Drum soldier. You guys remember this one from a couple years ago? Now we have the people that are going to be held accountable. Two people have been charged with killing a 20-year-old U.S. Army soldier in Sussex County, New Jersey, after a disagreement over a vehicle trade 2 years ago. Army specialist Jamal Mellish and Hanan Aiken, who's 17, not in the Army, but both from Brooklyn, are accused in the 2020 shooting death of 20-year-old Corporal Hayden Harris, pictured here on your screen. Mellish and Harris, who were both stationed in Fort Drum in Jefferson County, New York, exchanged vehicles the summer before Harris was killed. According to the New Jersey Herald, Harris traded his Mustang for Mellish's Chevy Silverado pickup. Harris wasn't happy with the trade and wanted his Mustang back. Mellish is accused of enlisting the help of Aiken, his girlfriend's brother, to allegedly kidnap Harris from a parking lot in Glen Park, New York, and drive him 275 miles to Byram Township, where he was killed. The victim had been lured to the parking lot after being told he could get his Mustang back. Scary stuff. Mueller said Tuesday the trial will begin in late October or early November after Judge Michael Gauss concludes presiding over the murder trial of former police Lieutenant John Formazano. So they're just waiting for that. As soon as the Judge Gauss comes back, we're scheduled to start the Mellish trial, it says. Mellish and Aiken, who was charged as an adult, are set to be tried together. An earlier motion to sever the cases and try to suspect separately was denied. Mueller said a new issue came up recently, may lead to separate trials, but we'll see what happens with that. So either they're going to be tried together or separately in this case, but hopefully both as adults for what seems to be a premeditated murder over, you know, probably just what would have amounted to a cheap car. Definitely cheaper than what your life is worth. That's why I tend to, when I do, you know, selling things, I try to sell them to establishments, even if I'm taking less money than I am with doing these online marketplace, Facebook marketplace or Craigslist type sales, because you end up, in situations dealing with some seedy people. Everything's a scam out there now. It seems like everything's a scam. That's why I should do all my business over eBay, or where I don't have to go meet up with a person in real life, or they can't find out too much information about me, or I sell things back to a store, because you just don't want to get wrapped up with any of this stuff. It's not worth it. It's super not worth it. So sorry to hear that this is what happened to this guy, but I'm glad somebody will be held accountable for it if they are indeed found guilty. And let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section. Sad stuff. It's a real bummer. Seems like we have so many murders to talk about all the time. It is a huge bummer, isn't it? I mean, everything's just a murder here, a murder there, a murder everywhere out of the army. It's just nonstop. Although, the next story is not a bad one. Then the next story is not a bad one. Then the next story is not a bad one. Then the next story is not a bad one. I'm going to take you guys on a more positive ride. Actually, one of the stories might be kind of bad, but it's not that bad. It's not bad enough to, like, bring us down. It's just kind of a lame-ass Stolen Valor story, but we're going to talk about it. I know Stolen Valor is a big hit topic. People love hearing that people get caught for Stolen Valor. People don't love hearing that people steal valor, but people love hearing that people get caught for stealing valor. Me too. But before we get to stolen valor, we're talking about stolen something else and some accountability. Facebook Live, Facebook Meta, one of the biggest companies in the world, copied tech from a war veterans app, and the jury awarded that war veteran $175 million. Oh my God. The parent company of Facebook and Instagram, Meta, was ordered to pay nearly $175 million for violating patents held by the maker of a push-to-talk app founded by a former Green Beret who had sought to solve battlefield communications problems he encountered in Afghanistan. So this comes out of Austin, Texas. The jury deliberated before finding that Meta infringed on two patents held by a company called Voxer, V-O-X-E-R, and awarded Voxer $174.5 million in damages. That's what I'm talking about. What a payday. Voxer accused the Menlo Park, California social media giant of taking its proprietary streaming technologies and incorporating them into Facebook Live and Instagram Live after a potential collaboration fell through. So he tried to sell it to them, but like any great company, they had the meeting, saw what the tech was all about, and they said, oh, we'll just steal it. Why would we pay for it? Tom Kaddis, Voxer's co-founder and chief executive until 2015, was inspired by his battlefield experiences to find new tech that could enable transmission of voice and video communications with the immediacy of live communications and reliability and convenience of messaging. He re-enlisted after 9/11, was serving as a comm sergeant with the Army Special Forces in 2003 when his unit was ambushed and he faced the shortcomings of existing systems while trying to coordinate medevacs and reinforcements. He launched Voxer, the walkie-talkie app, in 2011, and Facebook approached the company about a potential collaboration. By February 2012, Voxer had shared its patent portfolio and proprietary tech with Facebook, but when early meetings failed to result in an agreement, Facebook identified Voxer as a competitor, although Facebook had no live video or voice product at the time. The social media giant then revoked Voxer's access to key components of the Facebook platform. Then it's found out that Facebook Live, which launched in 2015, and Instagram Live from 2016, although it feels like we've always had them, they're actually not that recent, actually incorporated Voxer's technologies and infringed on their patents. So I don't understand the tech stuff too well, but basically it takes real-time and time-shifted recordings of what you're saying on your end of the line and delivering them to the other end of the line in either audio or video form, and that's as good as I can explain it. I could read the next few paragraphs of tech stuff, but it's not going to help you, just like it didn't help me. In early 2016, Voxer met with senior Facebook officials and sent a statement that outlined the app's patent portfolio and specifically referenced the patent families of the patents Meta would be accused of infringing. So they tried to have a meeting to resolve it, but Facebook Live senior product manager in late February 2016 raised the issue of the platform's patent infringement, encouraging the product manager to follow up with the senior Facebook executives. Facebook has prioritized live video messaging since the launch of Facebook Live and Instagram Live, with one report identifying Facebook Live as Facebook's top priority. So they weren't interested in, you know, admitting wrong or resolving it themselves. So they ended up going to court. Facebook does dispute the claims, saying that they did not do it. They're innocent, Your Honor. But they and that they also intend to seek further relief, including an appeal. but Meta did not respond for a request for comment. Neither did the attorneys on behalf of Voxer. But as of right now, folks, a Green Beret came up with a piece of tech so cool that Facebook just had to have it so bad that they actually stole it from him. And then he sued them and got $175 million awarded to him, which I think is awesome. And let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section. I think that's great. Hell yeah. Don't take that line down. Do not take that line down. We will not go gently into this night. No way, Jose. Just not going to do it. I'm glad that he fought that fight. Screw Facebook for doing something like that. Screw them. They can afford it, you know, with all that money they make. They probably make $175 million a week off Facebook and Instagram, something like that, probably. I don't know. Maybe not that much, but, you know, in a year, it's a drop in their bucket. So good for that guy and Voxer in general, although I've never heard of it. I've never used it. I sent it out my love for you. Somebody who's not getting as much love out of the Air Force. Oh, the Air Force. Always good when we get to talk about the Air Force. It's going to be an early day today. We're going to get out of here early today. Something out of the Air Force here. This is a developing story, but it's quite interesting. I don't know why people do this. I don't know why. When you do this next thing, you lose everything. But if you had just not done this, you'd be doing great. House candidate called himself a combat vet. Record show he ain't, making him today's scuttlebutt show clown of the day. Campaigning for a Northwestern Ohio congressional seat, Republican J.R. Majewski represented himself as an Air Force combat veteran who deployed to Afghanistan after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, once describing tough conditions, including a lack of running water that forced him to go more than 40 days without a shower. Turns out he was deployed to Qatar, whatever you call it. So he was not who he claims to be. His account of his time in the military is just one aspect of his biography that is sus, according to Air Force Times. They said suspect, but they're not trendy. His post-military career has been defined by exaggerations, conspiracy theories, talk of violent action against the government, and occasional financial duress. You know, you could imagine he's a QAnon guy. He's a far-right guy. He is MAGA all the way. And one of those guys who's kind of using that to leverage himself into the public spotlight, whereas if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for just repeating things that I don't even think that he understands, he would have no chance of garnering anybody's respect. And that's the part that I don't like about this stuff. So it goes on to, you know, talk about his politics, but I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that. What I want to talk about here is his stolen valor. It says here, it bothers me when people trade on their military service to get elected to office when what they are doing is misleading the people they want to vote for them. That's according to Don Christensen, a retired Air Force colonel. Veterans have done so much for this country, and when you claim to have done what your brothers and sisters in arms actually did to build up your own reputation, it is a disservice. And I agree with that completely. His campaign declined to make him available for an interview, and in a lengthy statement to the AP, did not directly address questions about his claim of deploying to Afghanistan. We are going to talk about that a little bit more. He did have a statement that said, I am proud to have served my country. My accomplishments and record are under attack. Meanwhile, career politician Marcy Kaptur has a 40-year record. Like, you could use an AI-generated political talking points bot to do that. He himself has no previous political experience, and he seems to be bolstering himself up for his credentials based on lies about his experiences in the military. So, for example, throughout his campaign, he offered his Air Force service as a valuable credential. He's saying, look, I've never served in the government. I'm not a career politician, which is what everyone says now, so it's totally lost all its meaning. But I was in the Air Force. That's why his tagline on his all his promotional stuff that says Veteran for Congress appears on his merch and everywhere else. He ran a Facebook ad promoting himself as a combat veteran. And in a campaign video released this year, Majewski marauds through a vacant factory with a rifle while pledging to restore an America that is independent and strong like the country I fought for. So I could go through and unpack every individual problem with that. The fact that he probably doesn't know how that rifle works. The fact that he was never deployed to Afghanistan, according to his record. The fact that his time in the Air Force was not even spent doing anything cool. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But just the fact that somebody would go out there and make that stuff up, and then they have the gall, they have the cockiness and this kind of self-delusional attitude that they could be qualified to be a public servant in Congress? That's a huge problem. Says here, the House Republican Campaign Committee released a bio that describes Majewski as a veteran whose squadron was one of the first on the ground in Afghanistan after 9/11. A campaign ad posted online Tuesday by Majewski supporters flashed the word Afghanistan war veteran across the screen alongside a picture of a younger Majewski in uniform. A biography posted on his campaign website does not mention Afghanistan. You would think that would be a big deal. But here's where it gets worse, folks. Here's where Stolen Valor really starts to unravel. IMO, in my opinion, here's where Stolen Valor stories really like to unravel, is from what I've seen. When asked about his military experiences, he says, "I don't like talking about it. Lost a lot of good men out there." Like when people start saying things like that, it's a warning sign, I would say. He says, "I don't like talking about my military experience," during a 2021 interview on the One American podcast after volunteering that he served one tour of duty in Afghanistan. He says, "It was a tough time in my life. You know, the military wasn't easy." But the Associated Press obtained his records from the National Archives through a public records request and found out some interesting information. Rather than deploying to Afghanistan, like he says, the records state that Majewski was based at Kadena Air Base in Okinawa for much of his active duty service. He did deploy for 6 months to Qatar in May 2002, so this is right around the invasion of Afghanistan, where he helped load and unload planes while serving as a passenger operations specialist. No sort of direct combat role or any evidence that he served in direct combat. The broad definition of combat veteran, which has been expanded in the past, including people who serve on ships that have sailed out to the Gulf, can be confusing. So he can label himself a combat veteran and not be necessarily lying about that. And he could have left it at that. He could have left it at that. And then just if people make up their own version of what that means, that's on them. He could have just said, "Well, that's on them. If they thought that what I meant was I'm out there shooting bad guys, that's on them. I just said I'm a combat veteran. I am." It's technically true. But He had to go on. He had to go on and label himself an Afghanistan war veteran serving boots on ground for some kind of extended period of time. But he also doesn't have an Afghanistan campaign medal, which you get for serving either 30 consecutive days or 60 non-consecutive days in country during a deployment. And I have done that 5 times. I've earned that medal 5 times over. I mean, you only get it once, but I've done that probably 5 or 6 times over. No, wait, 30 days in a row? I've done it 11 times. You know, no, not even that. 13 or 14 times. Anyway, it's a sham. It's a sham to label yourself an Afghan war veteran if you have not spent even enough time there to get the campaign medal. You know, now I'll take that back because people go there for like 1 day and get wounded or something like that. But I'm just trying to allude to the fact that this guy is not one of those guys. You're not that guy, bro. You are not that guy. It says here a quote from somebody else. "As somebody who was in Qatar, I do not consider myself a combat veteran," said Christensen, the colonel, Air Force colonel from before. He now runs an organization called Protect Our Defenders, a military watchdog. "I think that would be offensive to those who were actually engaged in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan." And I agree with that completely. So the AP did actually some good reporting here because they confirmed that he does not have the Global War on Terrorism Expeditionary Medal or the Afghanistan Campaign Medal, which implies even less time deployed and serving than he's even being accused of. It says Matt Borey, an Air Force veteran who worked in intelligence and reviewed Majewski's records at the AP, said it's odd that Majewski lacks many of the medals you would expect to see for someone who deployed to Afghanistan. There's also the matter of his final rank and reenlistment code when he left active duty after 4 years of service. Most would have 4 years and receive several promotions that are generally awarded for time served. Majewski exited at a rank that was one notch above where he started. His enlistment code also indicated that he could not sign up with the Air Force again. So not only lying about deployment, but could be lying about his discharge status. And that's because it says here he was NJP'd in 2001 after getting into a brawl in his dorm, which got him demoted. He's just not that guy. He's not that guy. And he's got a history of exaggerating. He's a QAnon guy, all this stuff. He's renounced Q, but all this stuff is, you know, just lending to the fact that he's probably not qualified for Congress. I mean, who is, though? Who in Congress is qualified for Congress? It's getting quite scary out there, to be totally honest, but this guy's not that guy. Majewski describes himself on LinkedIn as a project manager and senior consultant for First Energy, an Ohio-based power company, a position that he stated he held since shortly after leaving the military. Majewski explained in a bio posted to his website that he was that they recognized him for his intellect and leadership capabilities. Yet records from his 2009 bankruptcy raised questions about his seniority. They show he was an outage manager, earned $50,000 a year. In his bankruptcy, him and his wife gave up their home, two cars, and a jet ski to settle the case. If you have a jet ski and you are filing for bankruptcy, you probably don't know how to manage money enough, well enough, to be a congressperson. I'm just going to go throw that out there. So will he, you know, find his way into the halls of Congress? I freaking hope not. But what's the alternative? I mean, it's just, it's bad and worse out there. You have to pick from bad to, I forgot I'm even still clown face over here. You either pick the lesser of two evils, whatever that means to you. I hope this guy doesn't get it, though. You could do a lot. Everyone could do a lot better than this guy. J.R. Majewski, apparently stolen valor, apparently, bad behavior, bankruptcy, all this stuff. And now he's trying to ride this populism wave to Washington, D.C. And that's the stuff that scares me, folks. And let me know what you think about that in the comment section down below. That's the stuff that scares me. When you've got people who can just say four talking points and get elected to public office just by being loud. Just by being loud and obnoxious. And it's sad. Jared Knight, what's up? RE2 or 4, he was shown at the door. What is up? Great to see you. Harry Lime Pie says, my son-in-law was a CS on a DDG. Fired the MA dude off the ship once, didn't get him combat ribbon. Fired the MA? The M2? What is that? What's the MA? He'd fit right in Congress, Kitty says. Yeah. Harry Lime Pie says he had a Mustang at 32%. I bet he did. According to AN from a Politico, that J.R. Majewski described himself as an executive in the nuclear power industry, but his employers in a now-deleted LinkedIn resume did not support that claim. Yeah, I believe it. It sounds like all his claims are false. All right, guys. I thought we would be getting out of here early, but it looks like we're probably going to be getting out of here right around on time. I got two stories left for you. We're going to 50 cal, the M2 50 cal. Ma deuce. Yeah, gotcha. That's awesome. It depends where he deployed to. Depends where that deployment went to. If you were in a combat zone like the Persian Gulf, then you could be qualified for a combat action. Or not combat action ribbon, but you're considered a combat veteran. You don't get a combat ribbon, but you're considered a combat veteran. That's a different thing. I want to that requires some more explanation, maybe another time. All right, guys. Recently, last week, the Army announced the 2022 Drill Sergeants of the Year. You ready to see this? U.S. Army's 2022 Drill Sergeants of the Year. Here they are, looking quite differently. I want to tell the young lady on the right to just stand up straight. Let's go. Chest out, shoulders back. And the gentleman on the left is just looks like he's about to yell at some recruits. These are two very different seeming people, but they are your 2022 Drill Instructors of the Year, Drill Sergeants of the Year. The 2022 Army and Army Reserve Drill Sergeants of the Year were announced September 15th after 4 days of grueling competition. Staff Sergeant Krista Osborne, a drill sergeant with Bravo Company, 210th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Chemical Brigade at Fort Leonard Wood, and Staff Sergeant Loren Pope, a drill sergeant with 1st Brigade, 98th Train Division at Fort Benning, earned the title of Drill Sergeant of the Year. I keep wanting to say drill instructor, but they say Drill Sergeant of the Year. Osborne is the 5th female to ever win active duty Drill Sergeant of the Year. Staff Sergeant Jill Henderson won the first in 1993, breaking those glass ceilings, if you will. The last female from any component to win the competition was U.S. Army Reserve Sergeant Major Melissa Solomon, who is currently the Deputy Commandant at the U.S. Army Drill Sergeant Academy. Hua. It is the greatest honor to be selected as TRADOC Drill Sergeant of the Year. I've worked so hard to represent not just female drill sergeants, but females across the Army, said Osborne. With this win, it's not just for me, but for all women looking to compete. Cool. Every year, Drill Sergeant of the Year competition physically and mentally challenges the Army's best drill sergeants. While they are tested on their physical and tactical abilities, they are also tested on their ability to assist and still lead by example, the primary tenets for all drill sergeants. So there you go. There you have it. Your 2022 Drill Sergeants of the Year. Osborne said, as Drill Sergeant of the Year, I'd like to visit with each of the centers of excellence to ensure there's consistent training in the initial entry training environment. There shouldn't be different standards. I'd like to get out and speak with as many drill sergeants through forums and seminars to help make the drill sergeant program better. Relax, okay? Relax. You're not the sergeant major of the Army now because you won this. I feel like just keep doing what you're doing. It seems like you're doing everything right. Keep doing it. There's plenty of fish to fry over there in the Army. Just try to make a big impact at home. But just looking at the photo here, the difference between these two people is remarkable. I don't know. You can tell me what you guys think about that. It seems pretty substantial. I don't know. Maybe, and it could be that she hurt her back that weekend. You know, like I get out there, I hurt my back, and I'm like crippled. I look all pathetic and horrible. And I can't stand up straight. So she could have put out so hard that she hurt her back and she's having a hard time standing up straight. Whatever it is, that very well could be the case. But I'm just looking at these two and going, roll those shoulders back. Like, this is your moment. This is the photo that they're going to put on you on the news and everything like that. Anyway, that's just me. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below. Big day for the Army. Staff Sergeant Pope looks like he could do some pull-ups. Yeah. Jared, I got you. Jared said, hit me up after the show. Like, all right, we'll do. So, you know, it's been a long day for the Army here on the Scuttlebutt Show, which is nothing new. I got one more story for you guys. We're going to react. We're going to reactify to something here. We're gonna have a nuclear reaction like Majewski is trying to have over there. This is crazy. This one's crazy. Crazy scary. You let me know if this has ever happened to you. Video shows U.S. Army paratrooper 1 second from death in scary freefall. And this is totally shocking. We're going to watch the video right now. So there you go. Static line out of the back of the C-130, looks like. And boom, look at this guy. Oh, my God. Diving in. Burning in. 50 feet above the ground. 10 feet above the ground. Shoot deploys. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Have you guys ever seen anything like that? He pulls that chute 10 feet above the ground. He checked off his equipment and made sure his pack was tied. He had to sit and listen to those awful engines. Oh. You ain't gonna jump, no. One more. Let's watch it one more time. So he's got 15 seconds, it says. 15 seconds to figure, or AKA the rest of his life, to figure out what to do with that chute. Talk about a pucker moment right there. Holy crap in your pants. That is scary stuff. So it says he fell for 15 seconds before opening the reserve chute and avoiding tragedy. They didn't identify this person. They also didn't say what kind of injuries this person had or I mean, you would assume they still hit the ground pretty hard. You don't lose in probably enough airspeed or have enough time to prep your landing position when you're 10 feet above the ground and pull your chute. So I hope this guy's okay. Maybe an injured leg or an injured ankle or something like that, but oh my goodness gracious, just like this, one of the scariest things that I've ever seen. We'll watch it one more time. That's got to be just horrifying. And everybody else has to just watch that go down as they float down slowly but surely. Holy crap. And that was caught on film. That is insane. Insane. Wow. Wow. Where are my jump masters out there? Let me know what's up with that. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. A nice, brief, get-through-it show. Harry Lime Pie dropping the $1.99 Super Chat with a purple heart. Perfect. Perfect. That's hilarious. Sam says, I'd rather deal with jumping off a boat. No high heights for me. Thank you. Yeah. AN says his cutaway is way up there, so why wait? Showing off? Oh, man. Well, 15 seconds is not a very long time when you're having the most scariest moment of your life. So I wouldn't be surprised if it took a second to kind of even realize what was happening. His body is probably going through so much shock, ABC, and C spine stabilization. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, that's probably true. All right, that's scary stuff. But he made it. He got through it. Somehow he survived that. That's a miracle. And with that, guys, I'm going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow is Kwanda, so please come join me. Ask me anything you want. Join me on the show. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to have that conversation. I have some cool memorabilia to show you tomorrow, too. I can't wait. It's going to be a really fun one. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow, folks. It's been a great day. It's been a great week. I'm totally stoked beyond belief on the amount of support for that vet that we watched in that video yesterday. That was some heartwarming stuff right there. I'll tell you, had me in tears a few times. Oh, my gosh. All right. So with all that being said, folks, I look forward to talking to you all very soon. And for now, that's the Scuttlebutt.